In this episode, the United States Bankruptcy Appellate Panel of the Ninth Circuit hears argument in Re Miles, a bankruptcy appeal. The appellant, appearing pro se, challenges the dismissal of his Chapter 13 bankruptcy case by the bankruptcy court. At the heart of the dispute is a disagreement over payments, claims, and whether the bankruptcy court followed proper procedure before dismissing the case. The appellant argues that a disputed claim in the amount of $85,733.84 should have been resolved before his case was dismissed, and that he made all required plan payments. The Chapter 13 trustee counters that the debtor failed to make timely payments and fell behind on post-petition domestic support obligations, both valid grounds for dismissal. The panel of Judges Lafferty, Brand, and Spraker faces an additional procedural hurdle. The record on appeal is incomplete, with no transcript of the dismissal hearing and uncertainty about exactly what issues were properly noticed for appeal. This incomplete record shapes much of the argument. The appellant, Mr. Miles, appears pro se and now begins his argument challenging the dismissal of his Chapter 13 bankruptcy case.
Mr. Miles, are you with us?
I am, sir.
Okay, is that Mr. Miles?
Yes, I am. I'm here, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, Mr. Miles, you're the appellant in this matter, so you get to tell me if you'd like to reserve a little time for rebuttal.
Yeah, I would.
Well, you want to be specific?
Yes, sir. I would like to reserve time for rebuttal.
How much?
I just would like to probably about 5-10 minutes.
All right, why don't we start with 10, see where we end up, okay? So go ahead.
Well, if it pleases the court, Your Honor, before I begin, I respectfully acknowledge my pending emergency motion. I appreciate the court's accommodations permitting me my remote appearance. If the court elects to proceed today, I respectfully, Your Honor, preserve the motion and will address these merits of my appeal. The concerns whether the bankruptcy court correctly applied the bankruptcy code, Your Honor, before denying confirmation or dismissing my Chapter 13 case.
Chapter 13 of the Bankruptcy Code allows individuals with regular income to propose a plan to repay all or part of their debts over 3 to 5 years. Unlike Chapter 7, which liquidates assets, Chapter 13 lets debtors keep their property while making monthly payments to a trustee who distributes the money to creditors according to the plan. The bankruptcy court must confirm the plan if it meets statutory requirements, and the debtor must stay current on payments to avoid dismissal.
The central issue, Your Honor, before the bankruptcy court was a dispute claim in the amount of $85,733.84. I objected to that claim. On June 6th, Your Honor, just a week and a half ago, the attorney who brought this claim to the bankruptcy court said that I didn't owe this. He said that I didn't owe any money and for this claim. He said it in trial. Well, I had a court date the other day, and he said it in front of the judge, saying he doesn't owe anything. He's complied, is what he said. He complied to the order. I haven't paid anything on this, by the way. The city 502, once an objection is filed, the bankruptcy court is required to determine the amount of claim after the notice and hearing.
Section 502 of the Bankruptcy Code governs how claims are allowed or disallowed. When a creditor files a proof of claim, it is deemed allowed unless a party in interest objects. Once an objection is filed, the bankruptcy court must hold a hearing and determine the proper amount of the claim based on the evidence. The resolution of disputed claims can be critical in Chapter 13 cases, because the total amount of allowed claims affects the feasibility of the repayment plan and whether it can be confirmed.
What evidence in the bankruptcy records permitting the bankruptcy court, Your Honor, to determine the amount of this dispute claim of $85,733.84? The amount was critical because it affected confirmation and ultimately dismissed my Chapter 13 case.
Mr. Miles, can you see us? This is Judge Spraker. I appreciate your discussion. It tracks with your informal brief that was filed. The problem that we have at the very beginning here is one of procedure. And that is your notice of appeal states that you're appealing the notice of dismissal, or the decision of dismissal, and attaches that dismissal order.
On appeal, a court of appeals reviews only those orders or judgments specifically identified in the notice of appeal. If a party wants to challenge multiple rulings, each must generally be listed in the notice. Here, the judges note that the appellant's notice of appeal identifies only the dismissal order, not the claim objection ruling. This procedural limitation means the appellate court may not have jurisdiction to review issues that were not properly noticed, even if they underlie the appellant's argument.
There is no separate notice for a appeal of the objection. So traditionally, as we are required to do, we consider strictly the matter on appeal, which is the dismissal of your case.
Okay.
So.
All right. Go ahead, Your Honor.
All right. The problem we have, though, is your argument on paper really only goes to claim objection. And there's nothing that you've provided in the record that really gives us the reasons that the court dismissed this case. And we need that record to proceed with the appeal. And your opposing counsel has filed something based primarily on the dismissal. So. We're kind of caught here. It seems like there's two appeals, but only one has been filed with the court. I think you froze, Mr. Miles.
OSD.
You're having some technical difficulties with Mr. Miles, Madam Clerk, you know? We're gonna see if we can figure out the technical glitch here. We might stop his time in the meantime. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so we can't affect that? Okay. Mr. Miles, I don't know if you can hear us, but from our end, you seem to be frozen. Oh, Mr. Miles, are you back?
I think we just lost him.
All right, is it possible to go on to the last matter? I don't know if we're arguments there or not, but if we could maybe come back to this and see if Mr. Miles has rejoined us, would that be possible? We'll just make a note that he's got 10:43 of time, okay? Unless he's joining us again.
Hello, judges. This is Callie. Mr. Miles has dropped from the call, and as soon as he's back with us, I will Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. The excellent work of the brilliant technical support folks at the Ninth Circuit. Thank you. It's not something on our end, and we hope Mr. Miles can resolve it on his so we can hear the rest of his arguments. Is it possible, Madam Clerk, to suspend this and call the last matter and just see if we have anybody appearing there?
Alan Young represents Chapter 13, Trustee Jason Wilson Aguilar, and now begins his argument in support of affirming the bankruptcy court's dismissal.
Okay, and by the way, Mr. Yang, thank you for your patience. We're holding you up from all the brilliant things you want to say, too, okay?
Here comes Mr. Miles.
Oh, Mr. Miles is back. Okay, great. Okay, there we go. Okay, Mr. Miles. All right, so you've got 10:43. Not, hey, it happens to the best of us. Don't worry about it, okay? You got 10:43. You go ahead.
Okay. So the evidence of the bankruptcy records permitted the bankruptcy court to determine the amount of the dispute, Your Honor. I understand the record, the figure of $8,733.84 also corresponded to obligations reflected in the recording. Lays against my real estate property. The circumstances made it especially important that the bankruptcy court determine a legal character and amount of claim based upon contempt evidence contained in the record. I respectfully submit once again, objections was filed. Federal Rule Bankruptcy Procedure 307 required the court to determine the objection, and Rule 3001
are we frozen again?
Before had determined the amount, 11 U.S. in the accounting payment ledger or calculate supporting the amount. There was no supporting of that, of the $8,085,733.84. My Chapter 13 payment history reflects that I was making planned payments through wage assignment, and the trustee records reflect no delinquency in those payments. In the Chapter 13.
That's not quite what the trustee said, though, was it? The trustee said that there were, under each of your three amended plans that you have provided, that committed to pay $7,000 per month. At the time of the motion, there were 5 months, which should have resulted in $35,000, and there was at least two missed payments, together with the, and as I understand, the court also dismissed it for failure to pay post-petition support payments.
No, you know, that's what the, that's. Payment. I was able to make every payment. I made enough money. I didn't miss one payment. The trustee missed some payments. He didn't pay the mortgage. He didn't pay the car notes. There was a third party who paid $16,000. On one of my cars, and we don't know where that came from. The trustee's the one that missed the payments. I respectfully asked only that this court determine whether the bankruptcy court, Your Honor, correctly applied the money to my bankruptcy, the 11 U.S.C. 502-1325. Together with the Federal Rules of Bankruptcy Procedure before denying confirmation dismissing Chapter 13. I did everything right.
Section 1325 sets out the requirements for a bankruptcy court to confirm a Chapter 13 plan. Among other things, the plan must be proposed in good faith, must provide that the debtor will make all payments under the plan, and must be feasible. If the court cannot confirm a proposed plan and the debtor cannot cure the deficiencies, the case may be dismissed. Confirmation is a critical threshold. Without it, the debtor cannot proceed under Chapter 13 protection.
My bankruptcy attorney, they confirmed me And then for some reason, this DOS came in, and he even said so himself. Well, there's no accounting for this. My bankruptcy judge, I have an email from him saying, there's no accounting. We knew it wasn't in accounting. Like I said, I was just in court in June 6th, and the attorney said that I was caught up, and I had never paid a thing because he couldn't prove any accounting. And it sounds like he left the trustee holding the ball on this. Well, I don't owe $35,000.
Mr. Miles, I want to kind of just go back to the procedural problem.
Okay.
Because we have no record, and we're only a court of appeal. We can only look at the record, right? And that's the problem. I think that the court tried to sent you a notice saying there was no transcript. So we don't even know what happened at the hearing on the dismissal. Right. All we can see what was on the record, which is the trustee's objection, and that there was an order dismissing it. So when you give all these facts, we just, unfortunately, given the state of the record as it is here, we don't have those.
Okay. Well, I can get the record, Sean. I tried to get I can't even think of it now. I'm trying to work it. I got Zoom here, my bankruptcy, an extension on this so I can get everything together. I'm in between homes because my property is up in the air right now. So I don't really have the means to get everything in the amount of time I was given. And I'm sorry for that. It's my fault. I just didn't have the means to get everything. But, I was trying to get the transcript from the judge to get to show that that was the reason why they kicked me out of bankruptcy court.
Okay, we are just about at 5 minutes. Would this be a good time for you to pause and we'll hear from the other side? Is that okay?
Yeah, we can do that, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Young, you go ahead.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I sit, please, the court. My name is Alan Yang, and it is my privilege to represent Chapter 13 trustee Jason Wilson Aguilar. As previously mentioned, the issue before the court today, the bankruptcy court's dismissal of the appellant's Chapter 13 bankruptcy case, and we assert that the bankruptcy court's order dismissing the debtor's Chapter 13 case should be affirmed. Ultimately, the bankruptcy court made numerous oral findings at the hearing on January 7th, 2026, and dismissed the case pursuant to 11 U.S.C. 1307C. These findings were written out in the bankruptcy court's subsequent order denying motion for stay pending appeal.
Section 1307, subsection C, lists multiple grounds on which a bankruptcy court may dismiss a Chapter 13 case, including failure to commence timely payments under the plan and failure to pay any post-petition domestic support obligations. Dismissal under this section is generally within the court's discretion when cause is shown, though debtors are usually given an opportunity to cure defaults. The trustee invokes subsection C, 4, for failure to commence payments, and subsection C, 11, for failure to pay spousal support.
The court dismissed this case on two bases. First, that the appellant did not commence making timely payments pursuant to 11 U.S.C. 1326 as required by 11 U.S.C., which is a basis for dismissal under 11 U.S.C. 1307C4. Specifically, the debtor, as this panel has stated, the debtor was obligated to make monthly payments of $7,000 per month for a total of $35,000 from July 25th, 2025 through December 2025.
Section 1326 requires a Chapter 13 debtor to begin making payments to the trustee within 30 days after filing the bankruptcy petition, even before the plan is confirmed. These payments must continue according to the plan schedule, and the trustee distributes them to creditors as provided in the confirmed plan. Failure to make these timely payments is a common basis for dismissal because it suggests the debtor cannot sustain the plan and undermines creditor expectations.
Based upon the amount of funds that the trustee's office received was a total of $16,692 and some change, which causes a delinquency of $18,307.72. Consequently, it appears the debtor made less than half of the required plan payments. Additionally, it does appear that the debtor was delinquent on the post-petition domestic support obligations, namely the spousal maintenance, which is also the basis for dismissal under 11 U.S.C. section 1307C11.
Counsel, unfortunately, though, I mean, it's the same problem. I appreciate you going over this, but we can't see that from the appellate view based upon the record, and most specifically, the lack of a transcript. My understanding is there still is no transcript in the record, is there?
An appellate court reviews what happened in the lower court based on the official record, which includes the written filings, exhibits, and transcripts of hearings. If a party wants the appellate court to consider what was said at a hearing, a transcript must be ordered and included in the record on appeal. Here, the panel repeatedly notes that no transcript of the dismissal hearing was provided, leaving them unable to review the bankruptcy court's oral findings and making it difficult to assess whether the dismissal was proper.
There is no transcript on the record, but I do believe I designated the subsequent order regarding the denying the motion for stay pending appeal on the record.
All right, but that's outside, that's the stay. It's not on the dismissal, and there's no reconsideration to tie in. So you're asking us to take account of the motion to stay as evidence of the dismissal?
As evidence of what the oral argument, well, on the basis of what the bankruptcy court decided to dismiss this case on.
Well, I mean, is the idea that the first factor for a stay is likelihood of success, and somehow that articulates likelihood of success because it reiterates what the bankruptcy court said during the dismissal? That's a bit of a, you know, that's a string. It's not exactly what we're used to in terms of evidence supporting a finding, but okay, if that's what you got, we can decide what to do with that.
All right. In addition to this, to briefly address some of the assertions made by Mr. Miles regarding the plan payments, and setting aside his objection to claim, the three proposed Chapter 13 plans that Mr. Miles himself signed off on. In Section 5A of each of these plans provides for domestic support, direct payment of domestic support obligations to Mr. Miles' former spouse of $3,000 a month. And so by his own admission that he did owe those domestic support obligations. And because of the arrears in his PAM payments and the delinquency, our office asserts that the bankruptcy court did not abuse discretion in dismissing the debtor's case. And as such, I am not prepared to answer any if the panel has any additional questions.
Grant? Okay, Judge Spraker? I don't either. Okay, thank you very much. And we'll go back to Mr. Miles.
You got
about 5 minutes.
Okay, that spousal maintenance came after I was removed from bankruptcy. It was so planned. It came afterwards. I was in bankruptcy, and next thing you know, I got a court date on June 15th. Now, how did her lawyer know that? And number two, Your Honor, I'm in the appeals court in COA in Washington, and the 7.2E was violated. It should have, the order should have never came to bankruptcy because he didn't go to the appellate court to ask for leave to file this motion.
Okay, please continue.
So, you know, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm just a He didn't pay none of my credit cards. He didn't pay the mortgage. He let somebody else got into my bankruptcy and paid the mortgage. Person I don't even know, Your Honor. It's just, this case is It's unbelievable what's going on here. And I have record of all this stuff. I can prove everything I'm saying.
Again, Mr. Miles, that's the problem with the appeal. The appeal only looks at what has been done and based upon the record that those actions were taken. You filed an appeal of the notice of the dismissal. And the only document that we have discusses the claim objection, which I understand you dispute, but that's not before us on the dismissal. So,
hey, Your Honor.
But the problem is, unfortunately, the record's fixed, right? I mean, we've had the appeal, and now's the time for the decision. So this is not a continuing discussion. It is the argument, and then we'll take the matter undecided. So, I mean, that's the problem that I'm raising that we're having is that this appeal is fixed, and we don't have much of what you're arguing.
Mm.
So, any final comments or matters you want to wrap up with?
Well, I can't do anything if you don't have the evidence. this is what happened, Your Honor. I understand what you're saying, but I was wrongly dismissed from the Chapter 13.
Okay. Well, we're hearing that. If we're all set, well, thank you very much for appearing today, especially because it looks like it wasn't very convenient for you, Mr. Miles. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. The matter's submitted, and we'll get you a written decision as soon as we can.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
The panel has submitted the matter for decision. No outcome is implied by the questions asked during oral argument. The bankruptcy appellate panel will issue a written opinion reviewing the bankruptcy court's dismissal based on the record that was provided. Bankruptcy appellate panel decisions typically issue within several months of argument, though the timeline can vary. Listeners should note that the lack of a complete record, including the absence of a transcript of the dismissal hearing, played a significant role in the panel's discussion and may influence the court's analysis.